7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Daya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Idols that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at wpfwfm.org. Again, that's wpfwfm.org.
Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. Welcome to Inside Out LGBTQ Plus talk radio show. We are excited to be back again with our listeners as you all are driving home or to wherever you are going to be tonight. We are very excited because we have a very special guest who you will hear from in a little bit. But before we get to our guests for tonight, I wanted to welcome my co-host, Mimi. Hey, Mimi, how are you?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good. It's a beautiful sunny day, although there's a little bit of pollen, but I'll take the time every day.
A little bit is a little bit. You know, you got to start taking your allergy medications now so that then, you know, it'll build up and then we're there. If you really have bad allergies, you should be doing that earlier. But anyway, so this isn't the medical podcast today.
I think we should start this in our show. Just safety tips for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever the season brings us, you know, and remind our listeners that we also have to take care of ourselves. And yes, I agree. If you have allergies, this is definitely not the season for you. So as Mimi said, take your allergy medication early on, right? So that is our safety tips to our listeners for tonight. But I am very excited. I am looking forward to this show. As I've said, we have a special guest is going to be joining us in a little bit. But before we get there, let's do some quick intro first for our audience. So again, everybody, good evening. You are listening to Inside Out LGBTQ Plus Talk Radio Show. Inside Out Radio Show illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA Plus experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008, and it's Washington, D.C.'s only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country. So this is really important. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA+ inclusive lens. We are proud to be part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 89.3 FM and online on WPFWFM.org. Tune in on Mondays. Listen to the rest of the Inside Out Collective and continue to support not only our show, but WPFW as well. We also wanted to hear from our listeners, right? You know, we invite you to call us for any questions. The number to call is area code 202-588-0893. Again, that is area code 202-588-0893. So we encourage you to call in and be part of the conversation that we're going to have. You can ask us any questions. You can ask our guests any questions. So are we ready?
We are. We're so excited for our special guest.
I know. And you'll hear from our special guest, but I think we need a little bit of time to like do some quick intro by reading a little bit of her bio, right? Mm-hmm. So that way our listeners would know who our special guest is. So let me kick us off with that bio for our special guest. So our guest for tonight is Colonel Bree Pham, who is an astronautical engineer in the U.S. Space Force. She is the co-author of Forging Queer Leaders, How the LGBTQIA+ Community Creates Impact from Adversity, and the co-editor of With Valor and Visibility and With Honor and Integrity. Bree also hosts The Forge and Fire, an LGBTQ plus leadership podcast. In her day job, Bree develops the requirements for future Space Force capabilities. Prior to recommissioning into the Space Force in 2021, she served 18 years in Air Force position, including a research and development command position, leading Air Force security cooperation with Iraq. Bree came out publicly on the day the transgender ban in the military was dropped in 2016. She served through the reimposition of a ban from 2019 to 2021 and is currently one of the highest ranking out transgender officers in the United States military. Bree also has appeared on ABC, NBC, NPR, and PBS News, and her writing has been featured in the New York Times, Washington Post, Military Times, ICSTIC, and LGBTQ Nation. She's a featured speaker on leadership, diversity, and inclusion at corporations, universities, and government organizations. Bree's prior work includes serving as president of Sparta, a nonprofit that advocates and educates about transgender military service, leading the Department of the Air Force LGBTQ plus initiatives team, and as a member of the State Department Speaker Program, which connects foreign audiences with American experts. So everybody, to our listeners, welcome Bree Pham. Hi, Bree.
Hi, Bianca. Hi, Mimi. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, welcome, welcome. This is such an honor, you know, to have you here. Wow.
It's a pleasure to join you.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're very, very excited. And just for our listeners, you know, we're going to be talking to Bree on Breaking the Binary, which is an intimate conversation that we wanted to have with Bree Pham. So we have some questions for you, Bree. And of course, we invite all of our listeners to also join this conversation by calling in at 202-588-0893. Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I just read your amazing bio, right? So clearly there's so many things that you're doing, right? Both professionally and the work that you're doing to uplifting our community. But I want to start from the very beginning, right? You know, we kind of need a little bit more. So like, okay, how did it all started, right? So let's start there. So one, tell us a little bit more about yourself, maybe something that you were not in the bio that you're comfortable sharing. And then the follow-up is like, what kind of sparked your love for the career that you're in now?
Sure. I'm happy to go back and start from the beginning. But at the beginning of anything, I do have to say that I am here speaking with you in my personal capacity, and the views I'm about to share with you do not necessarily reflect those of the Department of Defense or the United States government. That said, we're going to talk about all sorts of fun stuff, I am sure, including, you know, the fact that I knew I was, you know, a little different from a very early age, including being Wonder Woman right alongside my sister at 3 and 4 years old for Halloween. But it was something that I knew also from growing up in the 80s and the 90s that I had to hide to a certain degree because the cultural representation of who trans people were just wasn't where it is today. And you had to know that, oh, this might not be something I can share with other people and I've got to bury it deeply. But, you know, I did more interesting things that, you know, most kids do. If you want to share, you know, one, what's a crazy thing I did as a kid story? Well, I went fishing and instead of catching something out of the water, I ended up having to reel in a duck from the sky because it took what I was fishing with, flew off, and little 7-year-old me all by myself on the shore of a lake was like, I don't know what I need to do here, but I now have a very angry duck right in front of me and I have to take a hook out of its mouth. Right. This isn't cool. So, you know, we all have those interesting experiences that anyone has as a kid, though I don't know. I haven't met anyone else yet who's had to reel a duck in out of the sky. But you also asked about, you know, what got me started in the career that I'm in. And it wasn't too many years after that. I was about 9 years old that a friend of mine dragged me nearly kicking and screaming over my objection. But I like this friend. So I said, okay, fine. I will watch that episode of Star Trek The Next Generation with you. Mm. And I was hooked. Like, instead of wanting to study dinosaurs, which I had up until that point, and my 16-year-old son still does today, I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be Geordi LaForge. I wanted to make the warp engines on the Starship Enterprise go. And I wanted to help humanity expand out into the stars. That was my dream. And what's kind of cool looking back on it now, I also saw the culture that I wanted to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I saw this inclusive environment where everyone, no matter where they were from, what species they were part of, you know, got to be part of the crew and they were valued for the talents that they brought to it. And they went and did amazing things together. So that's what really got me started thinking about how can I do really cool things in space?
That's amazing that, you know, and it's funny because, like, you know, I've always said things about like the X-Men, you know, and things like that, because, you know, you have such a diverse cast in that. Right. And that's just like amazing. And like you said, working together, it, being so different, you know, how do you think younger you, like, you saw it as different, but like, I'm trying to formulate it. How do you feel like that actually hooked you personally?
It's hard to say how much it affected me in the moment, because the thing that sticks with me is that career-changing moment. And I think it probably took a little bit of reflection to reach the idea that this was culturally, but I do think it was internal. Even more so several years later in the mid-90s when I was already hooked as a fan, but I started watching Deep Space Nine, I got to see the queer and trans representation that I didn't know I needed to see as part of that culture. And I think that really mattered. And what's maybe even most amazing, it was just last year, I got to meet the actress that played Jadzia Dax on the show. And I took the patch off my arm and said, U.S. Space Force, and made her an honorary member of my crew as it is now, and, you know, thanked her for showing me on screen representation that did matter and that I could relate to. Again, even though it didn't really come out until more than a decade later, it touched me in a way that really made a difference.
Amazing.
Yeah. So many resonated for me, Bree, just, you know, sharing a little bit about a little bit of your background. One in particular is the representation, right? You know, I too, myself growing up, didn't see somebody that looks like me, that may have similar journey like me in, you know, in media, in television, and in movie. And growing up from another country, right, where it's very conservative in terms of religious belief, you know, there really is such a lot of like limitation as to what the queer community is represented and not trying not to be represented in the public arena. So to your point of like having that representation is so important, because you started really reflecting on like, I'm not going through this alone, right? And you know, somebody else out there is also going through similar experiences that I have, right? You know, and we can kind of connect into the emotions and some of the moments of all of our transition journey. And it's not until I moved to the United States where I really started seeing more of one, you know, the queer community as a community, and then specifically trans folks, right? You know, I've always known I'm very different. I think there's a lot of like similarities for many of us where we know from the very young age, I know I certainly do know that I'm different, but I just couldn't really pinpoint, you know, whether it could be like the terminology or where I fit in into their community. So it was like they, you know, a little over a decade where, and it took me moving from the Philippines to here to really get a better understanding of like, okay, so there is a space for me in the LGBTQ plus community. And it's so important, right? And it's so important because oftentimes for me, when I was going through, you know, questioning myself, it's like, why am I different? You know, where do I fit in? You know, there's always those questions that are popping in, and it didn't resonate until I started seeing myself, you know, in media, a representative from the trans community. So thank you for sharing that to our audience. I wanted to shift a little bit about some of the questions that I wanted to ask you. You know, you've shared a little bit about your background. We all have our own story of like our coming out, right? You know, whatever that may be. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit. And you can share whether it's, you know, through personal or what's it like coming out at work. So coming out, what was coming out like for you? Like, tell us a little bit of like what that journey is.
Sure. Happy to go through that. And as most of us know, coming out is not a one-time event. It is something that often happens over and over again, but some moments are bigger than others. And so, you know, I talk about a series of them that I knew enough about myself that when I started dating the woman that is now my wife, 3 weeks after we started dating, when I was just 20, I told her about myself, even though I didn't have the words to really accurately represent who I was. And so that was kind of the first time I told anyone that I'm a little different, even though it took a decade more for me to figure out that it wasn't just something I liked to do. It was identity. It was who I was. But the big moment that most people talk about is that I'm telling the world. And for me, I had to hide and delay that moment because I was in a career in the military that for the first 13 years of my service would have thrown me out for something that had absolutely nothing to do with my ability to serve had anyone found out that I was trans. And so it was that moment in 2016 where the Secretary of Defense made the announcement that transgender people could serve openly. And I was in my first tour serving at the Pentagon at the time. And I thought about going down to the briefing room where he was talking and being a fly on the wall, but thought that might be a little much. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to watch him speak on TV. And then as soon as he was done speaking, I had an email ready to go to my colleagues, and I had a Facebook post ready to go to the world. And up to this point, only 3 people in the world knew I was trans. So this was going to be a big moment. And when he finished speaking, I was nervous. I hesitated, but eventually got the courage to hit send, to hit post, and then I ran away. I found the elliptical machine buried underneath the Pentagon in the gym. I hopped on and I went nowhere faster than I'd ever gone anywhere in my life, with, again, that nervous energy of how's my life going to be different?
Yeah.
But eventually I got back to my desk. I sat down, and one by one, the people that I worked with walked over to me, shook my hand and said, "It's an honor to serve with you." And I was floored. Because the honor was mine to work with those amazing folks. And on Facebook, it was nearly nothing but love from friends and family. Truly amazing, but not all roses. My wife lost friends and family that don't speak to her to this day, nearly a decade later. Her parents barely spoke with us for a year, other than to twice say, "How are the kids?" So it was tough. But by and large, it was an amazing moment filled with love. And I am so thankful for the opportunities that have come my way since then, in both professionally and personally.
And that is so wonderful for you to have, you know, such a wonderful experience, and to also share, you know, the fact of something kind of, you know, ominous looming around, right? You know, you'll never really understand why you and your partner can accept and have an agreement to move through, as you did in your marriage, right? For better, for worse, everything else that everybody else, you know, talks about in marriage, right? And you did that. And then to have, you know, other people kind of swirl around that. And, you know, I'm just loving the outpour of positivity that you shared, because you actually brought that up first, which is so amazing, because that's the bigger situation there.
Oh, I was nearly in tears, truly, when the first person offered me their hand. I mean, you could just see the relief in my body and the, wow, okay, this is it. We can do this. And so I'm so thankful for the people that I've worked with, the people that have supported me, whether it's my colleagues, people who I've worked for, the people that I have had the honor to lead, and then also my amazing friends and family who have just been with me through everything and been the people that have recharged my batteries in the low moments that inevitably come in anyone's life.
And just a quick question in reference to, you know, coming out versus when you weren't out. How do you feel individually as a person that I want to say more positive your job has become, or more efficient you've become in your job, being freer as a person?
Oh, the effects are incredible. And I think this goes for anyone who can feel like they're their authentic self in all aspects of their life. And just about anyone has probably had the experience of, I'm gonna act a little bit differently at work or in such and such a social environment that I would with my friends or with my family. But this for me was huge, because not only did I have to act a little bit differently, or I couldn't mention maybe where I was on the weekend or talk about pronouns in a way that made sense for me, but it was so much so that I had to put such a strong filter in my brain that prevented any words from coming out of my mouth or any actions that I took from giving away a hint of who I was. And when you put that filter in your brain, I like to say, you can be good at your job, you could be great at your job, but you're never going to be your best. And so as soon as that gets lifted, you can take the energy you put into maintaining that barrier, into, using a Star Trek term, to put up your shields. Mm-hmm. You can say, take those down. I now want to put that energy into the relationships I have with people around me that are truly the relationships that foster effective teamwork and drive performance. So no matter how good you are doing all of a sudden you get to do better and you get to build more meaningful relations with people around you. And so I think that's an experience not just trans people have, but mm-hmm. anyone when they finally find the confidence to be their authentic self wherever they exist.
Oh, amazing. I mean, spoken so eloquently. I hope a lot of listeners are really taking that in because, you know, Colonel Fram isn't playing around. This is amazing. Like, this is amazing. And I'm so happy that you said it that way. Thank you for sharing that because it is the absolute truth.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And I want to segue into just a follow-up question to you, Bree, leaning more on our allies and our supporters, right? You've shared coming out, it's a journey and it's multi-layers and in different moments, different situation, you kind of have, you know, you're feeling in where the energy is. It's like, okay, is this the right moment and everything? But when it happens, right, for you, and for myself as well, I am very thankful that I have very supportive, you know, family and friends that were there for me when I came out. But there's also the other side of that where, you know, with all of those tension of like, okay, how is this going to be received, right? What is going to be the outcome if, you know, if I, you know, come out to my family and my friends? But for our allies, like what would you tell our allies, our supporters, family members when their family or friends, you know, come out and just decided to live their authentic self?
Well, the first thing I'd say is if someone comes out to you, consider it a gift because they trusted you in that moment to share something about themselves that they were probably really worried about sharing, and they picked you to share it with. The next thing after that is listen. Listen to what is on their mind. If there is any question to ask, it's how can I help you? How can I support you? And let that person lead, because no one knows better what they need than that individual. So I think that's one of the most amazing things anyone can give is just that space to hear you out and to approach it with a curiosity. But don't approach it with a curiosity of like, I need you to tell me everything because I want to know about trans people or I want to know this or that. You know, if you have to figure out some like general knowledge, Google it. I mean, truly go check that out and do a little research on your own. That can go an incredibly long way. Don't feel like, or don't act in a way that puts the burden on the individual to educate you about their circumstances if you just need kind of that general baseline knowledge. So there are a lot of things that allies can do, but if you start with that openness, that curiosity that leads to, I want to build a better relationship with you through this, that can go a million miles.
Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, no. And it's important, right? You know, just to allow for that individual to have the space to tell their story. And I really appreciate, you know, what you shared, that, you know, it is a gift, you know, because they have trusted you to share this information that's been inside them for many, 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 many years, right? So thank you for sharing that. And I hope that our listeners are able to take some takeaways from that as well. We have more questions for you, Bree. We are just getting warm up, but we're going to take just a quick break and we're going to come back to our listeners. You are listening to Inside Out Radio with Bree Fram, Mimi, and myself, and we are engaging with Bree on Breaking the Binary. So we'll be right back in a second.
Addicted to your lies. Oh, and in the mirror
We are back with Bree Pham, who is joining us to share her story and her journey, both personal and professionally. You are listening to Inside Out Radio. I am your co-host, Bianca, with your other co-host, Mimi. And again, we invite our listeners to join this conversation by calling us at 202-588-0893. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, yes. Colonel Bree Pham. So amazing. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to shift our conversation into some of the advocacy work that you're doing, Bree. So I want to touch on that a little bit with some questions that we have for you. Starting with, in my intro, you're one of the highest ranking out transgender officers in the U.S. military, and it's very powerful. Do you feel that visibility comes with a certain pressure or more of a privilege?
I think it's both. Now, there is a lot of privilege that comes with rank. There is a lot of privilege that comes with me being white. There is a lot of privilege that came with me being perceived as male. And there's a lot of privilege with a history of performance in the military. But that's one that I think is shared by just about everyone, because our military ethos really is look to my left, look to my right, and does the person that I see there have my back? And it's that track record that builds that connection and allows us all to thrive together. So while it's an aspect of privilege, it's also an aspect of, look, we are a merit-based organization and everyone earns their spot, whether that's completing basic training or an officer program and then advanced training that develops your skills. So that's really important. And a lot of privilege comes with that experience and the rank that we wear on our chest. But for me, as one of the senior transgender officers, there is a little bit of a fishbowl effect. There are a lot of people watching, but there are a lot of people watching just about every transgender member of the military. And so that's why you so frequently, I believe, see transgender service members really excel, because we know we're being watched. We know we're not being looked at just to meet the standards. We are putting in the time and the effort to exceed the standards and do incredible things and earn the trust of the people around us. So it's both. And there's also that military notion of, you know, if senior, I will lead, I will take command, I will develop the people coming after me. And I think that's incredibly important too, that the military is a long, unbroken line of people who have developed those that will come after us. Because all of us have to take the uniform off someday. And we hope that we've trained that next generation to carry on the legacy and go even farther, do even more, and be even better than any of us ever were.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, the pressure that also comes with that, right? You know, just to your point of what you shared of that certain pressure, and especially for our community within the military community, right? So I want to touch on a little bit on, like, how do you take care of yourself? What would you tell someone who, you know, is out in the military and, you know, just have that pressure of being visible? Like, what are some of the, you know, tips that you probably practice and that you can share to our trans military members?
Well, first off, use your leave. Take those vacation days that we have. But I think for anyone, we have to adhere to that adage of put your own oxygen mask on first. You know, we're told that every time we get on an airplane, and we easily ignore that because we're too busy in our phones to pay attention to that kind of thing. But it's really important, and it applies far beyond just that plane ride. Because what it says is, if you don't take care of yourself first, you can't take care of others. Because if your batteries are drained, your emotional support level is zero, you know, you are not going to be there or be able to be there in the way others might need you to when it really matters for them. So everyone's got to find that way that recharges their batteries, that puts their oxygen mask on. For me, that means finding the mountains, whether that's in the summer and I go hike in the mountains, or it's in the winter and I go ski. It is just that moment on a summit, on a peak where you see the world spread out before you. You just take a deep breath and say, is everything for me. And but for everyone, it's different. So find that thing that works for you and go do it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And also, you know, that leads back to, you know, like the coming out experience too, right? It's all kind of connected because, you know, when you're saying if you don't put your own oxygen mask on and, you know, actually take care of yourself, you're going to be a certain kind of human. In the sense, right? So a lot of people who aren't out that are harboring a lot of these things, you know, that aren't fully functioning in their full potential, you know, that's also another side of things where people aren't able to be who they would like to be. You know, you get those kind of energies. So it really does speak to the truth of being able to be visible, yes, but also being true to who you are. And getting to that part where the mountains is an amazing escape, but you don't have to feel like you want to escape yourself each day.
Oh yeah, that moment now that I think a lot of trans people experience, mm-hmm. just when you happen to walk by a mirror in your house, and you're like, huh, that's me. And mm-hmm. I am so happy being me. And that matters too. So in addition to the things I like to do, mm-hmm. being the person mm-hmm. I can best be is an incredible combination.
That part, completely. That part.
That is beautiful. Celebrating both big and small wins, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever we are. And I think there's a lot to say about that too. Just even for that quick second when you're walking by in the hallway and you just so happen to see the mirror and pause and, you know, celebrate yourself, you know, it goes a long way, even if you just spend about like 2 seconds in that moment to say and look at yourself and say, that's me, right? And it just brings this like very amazing joy inside that helps you to just kind of continue the rest of the day that you, whatever you're doing for that day, right? So,
You already know as women, it's more than 2 seconds, girl. So don't even try. Don't even do that. Oh, 2 seconds. Yes, no. After you go through all this work and journey, I'm in there for 3 hours, okay? Like, I'm in it. Okay.
That would be for another show where we have to invite Bree back, right?
You know, we do. We're going to talk all of the KK next time, okay?
Exactly. Talk about, like, some of the tips, you know, that we go through processes, right? I mean, those are going to be very helpful for our community as well and for us. You know, we can share some tips as well. Anyway, going back to where we are, right? You know, so this is what our show is about. We just go into like different directions and going with the flow. But I have just one more question for you. You know, you have been in the military for quite some time, over a decade, safely to say, and you've seen the evolution, the journey of the military. So my question is, what changes, Bree, have you seen in the military when it comes to LGBTQ+ inclusion? And where do you think there's still work to be done?
Well, I've been in for 22 years now, mm-hmm. so it has been a long time. And despite all evidence to the contrary, I want to say it still feels like it's closer to the beginning than the end, but I know that's not true. But it means 22 years, I was in before the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I was in before trans people were able to serve openly. And then I've experience the roller coaster of trans people can serve, trans people can't serve, trans people can serve again. And now trans people have been labeled again the problem. And the government's position is that we should not serve or are otherwise incapable of serving. So it has been an absolute roller coaster. But the long-term lesson of inclusion, I think, is still out there. And that is that inclusion makes the military and it makes our nation stronger. We have so many lessons that prove this, dating well back to before we included LGBTQ folks, when we included every minority group into the military. And just in recent history, at least past 100 years, we can look at bringing African Americans into the service and then desegregating the military. You can think in World War II about the Tuskegee Airmen and how they, as pilots, were the greatest thing those bombers could see on their wings, because if those pilots showed up, they knew they had a better chance of returning home than they would have any other circumstance. Or in the 70s, when we began integrating women into the service, how much stronger women made our force. Or when we later even integrated women into ground combat roles and opened up all the combat arms to women, we saw how much stronger the military got. And today, we couldn't even imagine a military without African Americans or without women. But it was in my time of service that argument was first made for lesbians, gays, and bisexuals, that they should be allowed to serve openly. And the arguments were the same against their service that had been levied against all previous groups. And yet, as soon as we repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the next day, the military was stronger. It was better. There was no breakdown of unit cohesion. And we saw the same thing again, those same tired arguments that we were incapable or unwilling of serving thrown against trans people. Yet we've had nearly a decade of open service and we've done amazing things. You have trans people flying our nation's most advanced combat aircraft. You have them commanding ships at sea. You have an absurdly large number of trans people penetrating adversary networks or defending our own. I don't know what it is that makes so many trans people go into cyber, but it's a lot. But they are doing every specialty within the military, serving in every department and at every rank, doing incredible things. And that's what's amazing, is that we have the evidence for all of those groups that they have made the military stronger.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, and so there's a question, because, you know, we talk about, you know, desegregation, and we talk about certain people who have served in the military that, you know, we all know we can look back on history and weren't always treated the best when they got home, right? So it's like you're fighting for your country, but the reality was you didn't get the same benefits, you know, because of a certain race, or now, you know, you being so high up to prove and break down so many barriers and deserve your respect, your flowers, your recognition. And also, you know, you have left a door open for so many people who want to follow your footsteps, you know, that are definitely capable to do so, or will be able to, right? You know, considering we're getting through what we got to get through. But how does that make you feel as a colonel, you know, sitting in the presence, and just, again, very, very fortunate to be even honored to be in this conversation with you. But how does that make you feel, knowing all of what you've done for our country, all of what you want to see for our country, and then to have, you know, administration come in and say, you know, yeah, that's cool and all, but like, you're still this. What does that make you feel?
Two things: sad and heartbroken. Because I can see just how incredible my fellow thousands of transgender service members are. I can see just how dedicated they are to the mission and the Constitution that they swore an oath to defend. And I can see their spirit. They are not broken, far from it. They are some of the most courageous, amazing people that I know. And then I look around and I think, what will our country have lost if they're not there. And I think about the people in their units who they may have worked with for years, if not longer, who will see a hole where an amazing person stood just a few days before. Or I think about the long-term effects, and that these are people who are senior leaders in their specialties who are training the next generation, and the ripples of that for what it would mean for our national security, not just tomorrow, but for years and years into the future. And even more so, if I think about what if we turn away the person who may revolutionize the way we fight in space or in cyberspace or in any other theater of warfare, just because their brain happened to be in a trans body that was otherwise capable of meeting every standard the military has to offer. What would we have lost in that case? Would we have lost if we get into a conflict? And that's something I hate having to think about, because it truly does break my heart.
Yeah, but, you know, having people like you be a voice and speak truth to the experience, you know, I've definitely taken I will take from this very educated, you know, because you really explained a lot, you know, thousands and so many different attributes that trans people play a role in when it comes to the military. A lot of people don't know this information. A lot of people don't really know how it works. And there's a lot of misinformation about, oh, how do you take your hormones? Or, oh, the people have depression or these things. And these are just things that actually everybody takes, you know, in their own situation, which it's so funny, right? It's so funny. People don't, they're not doctors.
How do I take the same medication
right.
thousands of cisgender women
have done,
and
yes.
are in the military?
Yes, I know. It baffles me, but, you know, they're on these stages and they're debating. And, you know, I think that that's why when it comes to the trans community, and, you know, I always talked to Bianca about this. I said, you know, when we're at the table, what are we asking for now? You know, a lot of times there is a trans movement depending on where you're at. But I think that we have to come together and figure out, like, what is the movement and where are the spaces we want to start checking off first, right, as a people and as a genre of people. And, you know, you've definitely done it for me when it comes to the military box, because the education today just about what you have done and the people around you is just, it's amazing. So thank you.
The military certainly isn't for everyone, but some trans people belong in every space. And if we can show that we are capable in some of these environments that people think are difficult for us to exist in, I think that helps the narrative everywhere that trans people should exist in every space. Trans people can exist in every space. Trans people are incredibly capable of existing everywhere in public life.
Well, you know, it's a wonder for us. And, you know, for some reason, it's a thing that keeps other people up at night, and I'll never understand, you know, I just won't. And Bianca, do we have any more questions for Colonel?
For you? I feel like we can have another hour or two.
Oh, right? Yes.
Talking to Colonel Fram on just anything and everything about our experiences. But I wanted to, first, thank you for all the work that you're doing, both in the military and in your own personal capacity. I was thinking earlier before our show, it's like, we've known each other for quite some time, right? And I think I give kudos to, well, one, social media, because I think there's a power there where even though, you know, we're not in-person connection, that there's still some connection in feelings that comes with that. And I just, you know, follow your journey and just really appreciated how you're continuing to, you know, uplift our community in your space. And that is something that, you know, I find personally meaningful and intentional for me, because even today, you know, we still have a lot of work to do to continue to uplift our community and be in spaces, you know, in those spaces that many of us, you know, had a hard time and very challenging moments where we can't be there for whatever reason. So I wanted to, you know, just thank you for all of the work that you're doing. Very honored to have you join us, and I hope that you get to come back chat with us again. But I have just one more question for you, going into the future, right? And this may sound cliche, but I think it's very important, right? It's very important for us to ask this question is, what advice would you give young LGBTQ individuals who are interested in, maybe the same career path that you're in or in the military service?
Well, the first thing I would say may also sound cliche of follow your dreams, because if you are passionate about something, go do it. Go try. Maybe you'll find out it isn't what you truly wanted and you might have to pivot. I have switched direction in my life many times. I always thought I was going to be an astronaut and that I was going to make it there. And a little medical thing, cut in the back of my eye, prevented me from getting there, and I had to switch gears. And I've had to make several of those changes over time, but keep going for it. And, if there's anything else that sounds cliche but is kind of actually valuable, is bloom where you're planted. And if you do a good job in whatever you're doing right now, more opportunities will come to do other amazing things. But go for it, because any young member of the LGBTQ community can go be anything. They can go do anything and go after it. Find others who are on similar journeys, find that community, find support, but go do amazing things.
Love that. Love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds cliche, but it's so important, right? And it's very true. It's very true. To all of us. Well, I have one last question for you, and I want to end on this question before we wrap up. And it's very simple. What brings you joy?
Well, we already touched on the mountains of joy that I get to experience all the time. That is truly it. But maybe one other thing that is really incredible is when I get to share people's stories, or I get to talk about LGBTQ leadership or possibility and inclusion out there. Many times when I give a presentation, I will have a transgender or an LGBTQ kid come up to me afterwards, usually a teenager, and they'll say, "I never thought that was possible for me." And when you just watch that possibility explode in their eyes, and you just have that heartwarming feeling of, "You're right, kid, you can," that brings me joy.
Oh, I love that. That is beautiful. Amazing.
Well, I think that is a great way for us to end our show. Again, Bree, thank you so much for taking the time to join me and Mimi on our show tonight. We really appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for all of the work that you're doing. And please do let us know how we can continue to support you in all of the work that you're doing. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us tonight. I hope that you have some takeaways with conversation that we have tonight. We'll be back again next Monday at 6 p.m. with another set of Inside Out Radio host Collective. And with that, hope you have a good night, and we'll see you later. Good night, everybody.
Good night. We love you and we enjoy you. Bye-bye.
Was I just a nightmare? WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th from 7 until 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt, Maryland. Entertainment will be provided by vocalist Navasha Dea and her trio, and WPFW programmers and poets Esther Iverum and Zain El Amin. The evening includes an award ceremony, dinner, and dancing to the music of DJ James Funk. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at WPFWFM.org.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, with an important announcement regarding a national town hall meeting. Report card on Trump, the first 100 days, strategies for resistance and transformation. Friday, April 25th, 7 o'clock p.m. sharp, at the historic Shiloh Baptist Church, 1500 9th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. sharp. Speakers include noted political economist Dr. Julianne Malvo, the NAACP's Hillary Shelton, National Urban League's Tara Murray, Diedrich Muhammad from the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, and Mel Foote from the Constituency for Africa. There will also be an open mic for you and the audience to share your assessment of Trump and the way forward. For further information, IBW21.org. That's IBW21.org.
Reparations Valley, Saturday, May 17th, a festival of unity and celebration of the ongoing quest for reparations, as well as the 100th anniversary of the birth of Malcolm X. Speakers include Michael Eric Dyson, Robin Ruth Simmons, O'Malley Yeshitela, Ajua Ayatoro, with virtual remarks from Marilana Karenga, actress Erica Alexander, and Ben Chavis. Performance include the Rapper Rascals, along with DC's own Ayanna Gregory, I